This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio. Yeah, I'm Dean Holland here with Charlie Dobbin. How are you this morning, Charlie?
I'm back.
You are back. It seems like a little mini lifetime since we've been chatting face to face.
It's been weeks, longer than I had anticipated, actually. So I'm really happy to be back. We're live. We're real. We're not doing a repeat today for anybody who was getting worried. I was in Hawaii.
Woo! You are? Yeah. And I have this all lined up for you. There I go. I got some nice Hawaiian music for you. There you go. There you go.
I saw a lot of ukuleles when I was there.
Did you?
Yeah, a lot of ukulele stores.
And I actually have a question. When I was driving in today, I was out of town, you know, visiting one of my kids, I was at the Royal Agriculture Winter Fair. Yes, we can chat about that in a little bit. I was wondering whether when you get off the plane there, do they still put like ladies? Do they still do that? Is that a thing still?
And you're right. I wondered the same thing. I was ready, but nope. You can order in advance.
Oh, I see.
To be put around the, you know, neck of your loved one. It is a very big honeymoon location.
Oh, okay.
But everything costs. It's not an inexpensive place to go to. Somebody said, "Did you go to a luau?" I was like, "No, I would have had to get a mortgage on my house to go to a luau." Like, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Everything is like hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised by that, but boy, was it beautiful. We were lucky enough. We were taping an episode of Healing Gardens, which is a documentary series that airs on Vision TV. And we went to three different national tropical botanical gardens, all on the island of Kauai. And very, very different. All three of the gardens, very different. But I learned a lot, as I always do when I do this, any of meeting people and going to exotic different places, seeing plants that I've only seen in pictures. So that was cool. We were on the set of Jurassic Park.
Oh, wow.
Pirates of the Caribbean was made in Hawaii.
Right. Of course, they want all those locales, right? Those locations. Yeah, for sure.
Because you wouldn't believe the size of some of the trees and some of the just the almost the spookiness, the atmosphere. It's beautiful. The Pacific is so beautiful. It was the whole trip had some very, very memorable moments attached to it. So, yeah.
Sounds gorgeous. Now, Charlie, I have to give the numbers out, but you also have a quick announcement you wanted to do. Do you want to do that first?
Sure, I'll do that very quickly. This Monday, November 14th, 7:30 p.m., the Agent Court Garden Club will be meeting for one of their many monthly meetings. Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland Avenue at Shepherd in Toronto. So they are a very friendly group. They're always reaching out, always sharing what's going on, and would love to see you and would love to see you with a guest. So feel free to attend the Agent Court Garden Club this Monday, 7:30.
Okay, so just before we go to our first break, the numbers that you need to call, and we would love to hear from you if you are in Toronto, 416-360-0740, or anywhere else in the province. It's a toll-free number, 1-866-740-4740. Please let Carlos know. Good morning, Carlos. He's our technical producer. Let Carlos know if you're a first-time caller, and I will give you your garden wings, or maybe I'll give you some, I'll figure out some Hawaiian garden wings this morning, you know? And we want you to call often. We want you to call early. And please, one question per call, okay? We will be right back with much more right here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here with The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland. And yes, Charlie Dobbin is here and ready. And I think you're darn excited to take questions because it's been a few weeks, right?
I feel like I'm a bit out of practice, actually.
Well, I am going to invite this first caller to try and trip you up. Then.
Thanks.
Okay. Welcome to The Garden Show. We've got Heidi on the line. Welcome to The Garden Show. Hey there, Heidi. What do you got for Charlie there? Oh, do we not have Heidi?
Hello, I think you cut me off.
There we are. Hi, Heidi.
Hello.
Hey, what do you got for Charlie there, Heidi?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you ask your question, Heidi?
Yes, listen, my spruce in the front yard is losing all its needles. I don't know what to do. It never happened before. It's from 1 month. All the needles are falling off. What do I do?
Is it a big old spruce?
It's about 38 years old.
So it's pretty old. It's hard for me to definitively diagnose over the radio, but if it's in your front yard and it's that old and that big, it's clearly an important part of your landscape.
Yes.
First thing I would do is I would get on my phone and I would call a certified arborist to come to your property and do an on-site consult. And that person will be in a far better position to give you a proper diagnosis of what's going on and what to do.
Oh, okay. Because I'm trying to save it.
Now, of course.
It still has a few tiny little pine cones, a few, on the tree.
That's
and
fine.
I don't know if they're brown, that they're going to fall off, or if they're good for next year. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't worry about the cones so much. The losing the needles is always a worry because, of course, a spruce is an evergreen, and we don't expect it to lose all its needles. We expect it to lose a few, but only the ones on the inside of the tree, not the ones towards the outside of the tree.
Okay.
So, but I would spend the money. I mean, a consult generally doesn't cost you anything. It's when you hire that person to provide some treatment that it may cost you. But honestly, a big old spruce, front of the house, very important. You have no idea what that tree lends to the value of your home. So it's certainly worth trying to save.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'll try and find
Thank you, Heidi. Yeah. And good luck with that, Heidi. I know I am a big tree person. We have some spruce on our property and some birch. I know you visited lately in the last couple of months, and you know. And I grew up just outside of in Ancaster, and many, many subdivisions like ours bordered on the Hamilton Golf and Country Club. So I grew up with hundreds and thousands of trees around me. So I love them.
Oh, and they're so important. I mean, we tend to take our trees for granted, but you know, and I'm sure most of our callers know, I mean, trees are so important. They not only add the obvious oxygen to the air, but there's shelter for birds, for wildlife. There's the erosion control in terms of soil erosion. I did an essay way back 40 years ago at university on the sound that they attenuate. Trees absorb sound. So in an urban or suburban environment, your trees provide that not temperature lowering, the cooling, but also just the softening of all the ambient noise around you.
Mm-hmm. Love my trees and love getting callers. And here we are. We're going to get to go to Marcia. Marcia from Toronto. Good morning and welcome to The Garden Show, Marcia.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay, so I have three kale plants outdoors growing on my back deck. And they produce abundantly kale all summer. I know they thrive in the winter. I would pick the leaves from the bottom instead of the top. And I have leaves on the top that I have yet to pick to cook. So how do I keep them in abundance throughout the winter months?
Good question. I don't know if there'll be so much abundance throughout the winter months because you're not going to see a lot of new growth on those plants, but you can definitely keep them alive. If they're in pots out on your balcony or deck, the main thing is to make sure that they don't dry out and just start to shrivel up. You're not going to water as often now as you did back in August and July, but do make sure they're kept moist and don't hesitate to keep harvesting as you wish. Sometimes people will just say, oh my gosh, there's a big snowstorm coming. I'm just going to harvest it all and then I'll freeze the leaves and I'll use them in soups and stews later. If you prefer, you can just continue doing what you're doing, which is the couple of leaves at a time. But you know, at some point, you'll have finished your harvest.
Okay, and so will they? So when you say finish the harvest, will they reproduce next spring, or is that it for the plant?
That should be it for the plant. Unless we have a very mild winter, the plant will die. What happens usually is they freeze in the winter, but they stay firm and edible through that freeze. When we get the thaw in the spring, they collapse and turn to mush. So that's the normal root of the kale and even the ornamental cabbage that people will use in their planters in the fall.
Are there any other greens you can grow outdoors in the winter besides kale?
Outdoors, not here. If you had, you can set up a very nice little mini greenhouse or cold frame. There's many ways to still harvest through the winter here in Ontario, but you have to build a little bit of an infrastructure. Anything from a full-scale greenhouse to a much smaller, you know, tunnel to even a smaller, you know, like a literally underground cold frame with a glass top on it, which will allow you to, you know, continue to harvest some of the hardy greens. Even things like parsley is a very tough individual plant. I mean, basil, forget it, but parsley, you could definitely keep going. Mine's still going. I'm still harvesting it now, but it is a biennial, right? It'll flower next year if it survives the winter.
Cool. Yeah, thank you so much for your question, Marcia, and good luck with those winter greens. And of course, you know, Charlie, they would grow all year round in Hawaii, wouldn't they?
Wouldn't they, though? You know what's so funny? And people who are retired will relate to this. When people retire, you kind of go, is it Wednesday today or Monday? Does anybody know? Because you kind of, all the days are the same, right? Yeah. I'm in Hawaii and I'm around all these retired people. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't even know what month it is. Forget what day it is. Is it October or is it April? Like, oh, I can't tell. It's all the same. So, yeah, it's a pretty beautiful place.
You got it. Okay, well, we have to take our next break, but we have to hear some important messages from important people, and then we'll be back to talk to some more important people here on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here with The Garden Show. The numbers to call in Toronto, 416-360-0740, or anywhere else in the province of Ontario, it is a toll-free number, 1-866-740-4740. And we're going to go right to our next caller, Charlie. We have Steve on the line, who is a first-time caller from Port Perry. Welcome to The Garden Show, Steve.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you your garden wings before you ask Charlie your question, okay? There you go. The nice Hawaiian-sounding, luau-esque garden wings. There you are, sir.
Good morning, Steve.
Thank you. Morning. I'm trying to start an indoor garden to grow lettuce, but I can't find any store or nursery that sells the seeds. And I'm wondering if you can point me in the right direction.
You sent me an email on this. And your point also was that shipping was very expensive for a package of lettuce seeds. Yeah, how about neighbors or you're in Port Perry? How about your local horticultural society? You know what else? Try Google seed swap in your local area. You may come up with somebody, because many people save seeds, right? And they participate in seed swaps. Okay. I know with my lettuce, if I leave it and it goes to flower, the flowers will go to seed. So I get the same lettuce coming up every year from my original lettuce that I planted from seeds 3 years ago, just by letting a couple of plants go to flower, which is kind of an easy way to avoid buying more seeds. So, I mean, did you grow lettuce this past summer outside?
No, this is my first attempt at any kind of gardening.
Oh, really? And you're taking on quite an interesting challenge. I mean, one of my favorite seed suppliers is in St. Catharines. It's called Stokes Seeds. So if you're ever in the area of St. Catharines, you wouldn't have to pay shipping. You could just go. They have a retail store. I'm sure they have lettuce for sale there. They will ship to you, but I have no idea what that would cost. Otherwise, a local seed supplier, you know, the big ones, Mackenzie comes out of Manitoba. Like most, so many of them come from provinces away that you do pay to ship. I would look locally. Seriously, I would do a search in your neighborhood for seed swaps, horticultural society, because or garden club. There will be somebody who's got lettuce seeds in your neighborhood.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, I hope that works. Let us know.
Let us know. You're very funny, Charlie Dobbin. you had no idea. There you go. I did want to mention. I think it was Marcia that was calling about the kale, and yep. I did want to mention that even as far, you know, we're that much further north, and I don't know, I can't remember now whether last winter was milder or not, but our kale all came back up this year, and so we had another harvest. Yeah, it all survived. It surprised me because I figured I'd have to plant it all over again, but it just came back up again
from the root.
Yeah, from the root.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do live in snow country.
Yeah.
We don't always recognize the value of snow. Snow provides that insulating blanket. So maybe that's why you survived. I'm trying to think. Or maybe you had a milder. See, if you always have snow, a foot or two of snow, it's great. It's great. Lots of things will survive. And other things will go to seed, but the seeds will survive and then they'll come up. So, yeah it's interesting. Different
so
places.
It's harder on the garden if there's not a lot of snow. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. A lot harder. It's a lot harder on the plants. They're so exposed.
Okay.
Not only, you know, the above ground, but then the roots are exposed to all that cold and wind and dehydration, or what we call desiccation in plants.
Gotcha. Okay, listen, folks, we have lots of room on the lines. We'd love for you to call. Again, the number is 416-360-0740. Please don't be shy. Toll free, 1-866-740-4740. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to go to Diane right now, who's waiting on the line, and Diane's calling from Dorchester. Welcome to the Garden Show, Diane.
Hi, thank you very much, and I'm glad to hear that Charlie's back. And
yes, indeed.
Yes. Anyway, I have lavender plants and I have the catmint. The catmint I don't want to touch because the bees are still going to it. And I'll do what you suggested. I'm going to wait till the spring, and instead of doing it individual, I'll just hack it all off. It'll be a lot easier. But what I forgot to ask you before, what do I do with the lavender at this time of year?
You know, that's a great question. There's a lot of different information on the web. Sometimes people just leave it alone and let it get through the winter by itself. In the spring, they get out down on their hands and knees and they cut out the dead, because you'll always typically have a bit of dead wood on your lavender. And again, depending on how much snow we have. So if we have a winter with consistent snow, your lavender will survive much better than it will exposed to the cold and the wind. The rule of thumb I use with lavender is I look at it right about now or in October, and I look at the new growth from this year. So that's the tips, and it's usually, you know, 5 or 6 inches of new growth. So the rule of thumb is you trim or shear back 1/3 of the new growth now in the autumn, late autumn. So you could try that if you want. I don't know if you harvested flowers or not from it. That assumes you have harvested flowers and you're looking at just the silver foliage. And then it's a 1/3 shearing back. And what that does is it keeps the plant more compact and it's a better looking plant in the long run. So next spring, it'll all, you know, again, start to grow, but it'll grow as a much more dense, compact, good looking plant.
Yeah, because last year I just left it. I didn't do anything. And with the weight of the snow, it all had just, like, it just looked like somebody sat on it.
Exactly. And it can't spring back from that very well because the older growth is woody. It's almost like a shrub. So once it's flattened like that, it stays flattened. And then all the new growth grows up from the old growth. But for a good-looking plant, do the shearing, I recommend.
Okay. Thank you so very much. I appreciate your advice. Okay, have a good day.
Thanks so much for the call there, Diane. Charlie, quick question. I was, as I say, was out of town last night, and wow, we had a lot of fog. in the province. There were fog warnings everywhere. Mm-hmm. So my daughter and I camped out at my in-laws' place, who live in just outside of Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And so Anne was asking, she listens to the show every week, about her dahlias. She's just bought some dahlias last year, and she was impressed. She said they were like dinner plates. They were like gorgeous. So she is not sure what to do with them now. So I just thought I would check with you.
Well, that's a good question. And I'm sure if she's really keen, there is great information on the web. There's the Chrysanthemum and Dahlia Society out there that's got great information on their website. What I do with dahlias is I wait until the first hard frost. So I think probably everybody in the province has had that now, maybe. Did you have a hard frost?
Yeah, kind of, sort of, not really, no.
No way. So, well, because here, hard frost in the sense that the leaves have dropped from the trees, most trees, but the, well, I wasn't here. I missed it. But my brother, who was here, texted me and said, he said, over one night, hard frost, all the leaves just dropped straight down. There was no wind. He said, there's little circles of colorful leaves at the base of all your trees. So once you've had a hard frost, you'll know the dahlias, the leaves will turn black. They'll be no longer green. They'll be crispy, dark. The plant collapses. Once that happens, now is the time to dig up the dahlias. Does your mother-in-law have them in pots or in the ground?
She has them in the ground.
Okay, so she will have to dig them up out of the ground. Once they collapse, like I said, use a digging fork. So you go in, you loosen the bulbs or tubers. They're bigger than what you might think, bigger than they were when she planted them. And dig those all up, cut off that mushy foliage. So that's just above the tuber. And then I just get out newspaper. I gently, you know, with my fingers, move the soil away from the roots, away from the tuber. But it's still going to have, you know, muddy soil attached. So lay that out on newspapers in a dry spot. So outside on a porch where there's no rain, or in a garage, whatever. Let them dry down for about a week to 10 days. Then again, with your fingers, move as much soil off as you can, and then you pack them away for the winter. And the packing away just means putting them somewhere frost-free, dark. So dark and frost-free, they will be fine. I have put away dahlias with a little bit of moisture, so with peat moss and a little bit of moisture. I think some people would say you don't need that moisture, but do check them every month. So, you know, you get the Rubbermaid container, you fill it up with sterile something. So sterile peat moss from the garden center, perhaps, in that goes. Break it all up so it's not clumpy. Drop in your tubers. You don't want them touching each other. And then just that media around keeps them dark and keeps them cool. So whether that's the basement or an insulated garage, wherever it is, and they will come through quite well. It's amazing.
Okay. And I'm guessing that you said that has to be sterile because you don't want any bugs in there to be, you know, chewing on them during the winter. They'll eat them, right?
Well, exactly. So you don't just dig soil out of the garden, because your garden soil should be full of all kinds of life that you can't even see. All kinds of microorganisms that are very healthy outside, but not so healthy inside. So you can end up with a lot of fungal diseases, and you know, your tubers will turn to mush if you do introduce either spores of fungus, or you could end up with who knows what's in your soil. And you're right, insects could be in there as well.
Okay. Our numbers once again, and we do have lines open, 416-360-0740 or toll free 1-866-740-4740. And Carlos is waiting to take your call. Go ahead there, Charlie. Yeah, you were going to say something.
With my mouth wide open.
Yeah, I saw your mouth open. You're going to say something.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Go ahead. We are midway through November, and winter is coming. And yes. I know I've been racing around like a crazy person, making lists of all the things that still need to be done here. Just wondering how you're coming with planting those allium bulbs that
I'm sorry, Charlie, you're breaking up. I can't hear your question. I'm
allium bulbs.
Allium bulbs. You know, I got to tell you, something you said a month ago really stuck with me. And that was, you said, oh, yeah, you can plant bulbs as long as the ground is not frozen. And we have had so much weather that I've been working on other things. So believe it or not, today actually is our bulb planting day. So Gail and I, after the garden show, are going out, and we are going a mass bulb planting on our property because the ground is not frozen.
That's true. And that's absolutely correct. And I bring it up because I know how easy it can be to procrastinate, or, you know, later, 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 or forget. So yeah. There's that go to the garage and go, oh, damn, there's another bag of bulbs in January. So go, everybody, go into your garages, go look in your shed, look for all the bulbs you've purchased so that you don't forget and get them in the ground. For sure, this is a perfect day for it. It's nice and moist. We had rain at our place. The sky is pure blue. We're going into double digits. And shortly after today, we're down to single digits as far as I can see in the forecast. So it's not going to be fun planting. And that's what I did yesterday. As the rain started to fall, I was out there still putting, burying a few, some daffodils and a whole bunch of fritillaria. So yeah, get those bulbs planted.
Gotcha. And speaking of bulbs, you forwarded me an email at the time, and I have something to tell you. So it says here, she was from Alice, who referred to me as the Amaryllis King, which I just had to laugh at, right? Because I still look to Charlie Dobbin for all my, you know, amaryllis know-how.
No, she says you're the, it's very clear that Alice thinks you are the amaryllis.
Yes, yeah. She says, wondered if I should be planting my amaryllis now. I have four that my husband babied all summer. Now we have them in the dark and we are waiting to plant them. I wondered if we should be doing that now. And she says that she always loves the show. That's from Alice.
Okay, so that it's an interesting question. So if Alice's husband babied them all summer, I wonder where they were when he was babying them. Meaning, were they just sitting on a tray? Were they out in the garden or were they in pots? Mine are in pots. I've never taken them out of pots. I leave them in pots outside all summer. Mine are in my basement now in the same pots. I did not pull them out of the pots. Maybe that's what he did, is he kept them out for the summer and then brought them in and took them out of the pots. could do that. What I would do if they're just sitting there out of pots is keep an eye on them. Hopefully they're in the dark and the dry and they're asleep. The leaves turned yellow after they came in from the outside, because that's what we do. We force them to go dormant by stopping watering them. And that's exactly what we did, is just, you know, put them in the basement, in the pots, and have left them all alone. They have turned yellow. What will happen, of course, is those leaves shrivel up. The bulbs are just sitting there. And what I found last year is I just checked them every now and then. Every week or so I look, and at some point a flower stem started to grow out of those bone dry pots in the dark. At that point, I brought them out of the dark and into the light and started my regular watering schedule. Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things. They do need to be dormant 8 to 10 weeks, Alice. So depending on when your husband brought them inside and stopped watering them, count on your calendar. If you bring them out of the dormant too early, you may end up with just a lot of leaves. So the longer you leave them, the better your chance of getting some flowers happening. And
gotcha.
That's the point, right? We want flowers.
Yeah. And so the big news is that while I was in Hamilton yesterday getting groceries for my son, I bought an amaryllis. I thought, and I bought something here. I'll hold it up. It's called a Minerva.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
It's a red and white one, and I don't have a red and white one. So I took the dive, because I know that we joked about this last year about how when I started the garden show a year ago, we got lots of questions about amaryllis, and you said, and then we didn't get any after a while.
Yeah.
But now the time is coming again, right? And so
we're back to amaryllis. If you want to get real top quality amaryllis bulbs,
yeah,
go to the website. That's Flower Bulbs Are Us. So
okay.
Flower Bulbs, the letter R, us.com. And that is a bulb retailer out of Mississauga. A woman I know runs it, lovely person, with really, really good quality bulbs. It's the same person who supplied the allium to you. And you know the size of those allium bulbs?
Oh, yeah.
Her amaryllis are the same.
Sweet.
But she has monster amaryllis bulbs. Not the one you would have picked up at a Home Depot or Loblaws is good, but hers are going to be probably twice that size. And the bigger the bulb, the bigger the flowers, and the more flowers. So totally worth it to get good quality, big, fat, juicy bulbs.
Fabulous. I will ask you that website one more time before the show is out today. But for the time being, we just have to take another quick pause for some important messages. But we'll be right back with much more here on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, box, hollyhocks, tulips, and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland here with Charlie Dobbin. And Charlie, I just looked, and hey, we can shout out to Steve. I found some lettuce seeds. So if he really gets stuck, he can message you, and I'll mail them to him. So there you go. It's leaf lettuce. It's called Prize Head. So there you go.
Okay. So, well, that's going to be a bit challenging. That's a head lettuce.
Oh, well, this is... No, it looks like a leaf lettuce, but it's called Prize Head. But it's all like, there's the picture. It's all leafy. I don't know. Anyway, I got it.
All right, Steve. Hopefully you heard that.
There you go.
You want some seeds? Dean will sell them to you for $50.
You're very funny, Charlie. Let's go to Gloria in Scarborough. Welcome to The Garden Show, Gloria. What do you got for Charlie there?
Oh, yes. Good morning, Dean and Charlie. Gloria, I've called you before last year, but it's about garlic. I planted my garlic, and when I harvested this late summer, I just had cloves. I didn't have the solid bulb. And I'm just wondering, these cloves now, some of them started to sprout, and so I dug them up, and I've got them here. They're dry, and the roots are dry. Can I plant those and see if I can get some more garlic?
You can. The garlic that you have now, did you plant it last fall or last spring?
I planted it in the spring.
Okay. So that's why you harvested it so late in the summer. So what I would do is, yes, if you want more garlic today, get outside. And of course, so you said you didn't have whole big garlic bulbs. You just got individual cloves under the ground? Is that what you found?
Yes. When I harvest them, like, you know, they have their, is it Skype? The Skype was curly. Uh-huh. I cut them off so that they would mature. But mm-hmm. when I dug them up later mm-hmm. on, it was around September, mm-hmm. I just had cloves. I didn't have bulbs. And I thought, what is going on now?
but the garlic bulb is made up of a bunch of cloves.
Yes, I realize that, yeah.
Yeah, so they might not have been as large because spring planted garlic is never as big as fall planted garlic grows to. Okay. So what I would do is, yes, to each individual clove goes in the ground in a sunny, well-drained spot. That will do it today, and you put it down 2 to 4 inches deep with a little pointy end up, and plant them at least 4 inches or 10 centimeters apart, and then just leave them. Let them be there all winter. You'll see them in the spring. Again, you will see those curly scapes or the flowers. Mm-hmm. As soon as you start to see that, cut those off. That's usually in June or May, mm-hmm. May or June. Cut those off. And by July, you'll be harvesting. And again, each individual clove will grow into a bulb made up of many cloves.
Okay. Now, I have at the back of my yard here, near my house, I have a barrel. This barrel is about the huge barrel, and it's full of earth. My husband did that years ago. Put that. I was thinking of planting some garlic in that barrel. Can I do that? It's huge.
It could work, providing it's a sunny location and it's well-drained soil.
Yes, it's well-drained, hopefully. I've got flowers in there right now, but I'm going to take all the flowers out and try some garlic in there because I don't have many areas where I can put my garlic.
Garlic is very tough, so it's likely to survive, particularly in a large planter like a barrel. Make sure that it's minimum of 6 hours of sun hitting that barrel in the spring and summer. It's not so important now, but in the spring and summer, lots and lots of sun in order for the garlic to really mature to something, you know, really yummy that you can eat.
Yes.
Thanks. Okay, yeah. Thanks for the call there, Gloria. And Gloria, you have reminded me that that's another thing we have to plant today. We have some garlic we got, from a friend. And so I have to plant that today. A busy day ahead.
Make a list.
Yeah, you got it.
What about your hoses? Don't forget about your hoses.
Oh my, yeah, I've done one of them already, but I got to do another one. Okay, Jean in Mississauga, we're going there now. Good morning, Jean. Welcome to the Garden Show.
Good morning, Charlie and Dean.
Morning.
Morning. What do you got there for Charlie?
A garlic question, and this lady partly answered the question. Can I plant garlic bulbs in a planter pot and put it in the garage for the winter?
How big's the pot?
Probably 12 inches across and 17 deep.
Oh, that's a good size. And it's just a plastic pot or a ceramic?
Yes. It's plastic.
Okay, and it's just a black or green single-walled pot.
Well, and actually, it has a water reservoir thing in the bottom, so it's not really thin plastic. It's fairly substantial.
Okay, so what I would do if I were you is I would not put it in the garage. Okay, so if you planted that, so make sure you've got a mix of both either topsoil or compost mixed with potting soil, so you've got good drainage out of that pot. I would be inclined to not go in the garage. If you have a corner in your house, outside your house, which faces southeast, well, more east than anything, that pot, once it's planted and watered once, I would pile some leaves around it or on top of it. I tuck it into a corner, like I said, that's preferably an eastern location. So it's going to be protected from the northwest wind in the winter. Uh-huh. But it will be outside because you want it outside. You want those bulbs to stay dormant. I'm just worried that your garage might get warmer than you want it to. When we get warm, sunny days, our garages can really heat up. And then we get really cold nights, our garages really get cold. So just look for the spot that's going to be, you know, the spot where you have the least extremes of climate on the pot. So someplace where it'll stay dormant, stay out of the wind, and just be allowed to do its thing. Because basically what it does, it grows a whole bunch of roots right now. If you plant garlic right now, it grows roots. Over the winter, it starts to set up its flower bulb, its flower stem, flower bud, and then in the summer, it all starts to grow, and that's what you want. So, I mean, garage could work. It just kind of depends what situations you've got at your place.
Well, I can put it in a nice southeast corner. I was just concerned about leaving the pot outside when other flowers, you say, put the planter pot in the ground.
So that's right. And actually, if you have that as an option, that's a real guaranteed way to make sure the garlic survives. I've been surprised sometimes at the number of things. Like I have chives. Now, chives, you can't get much tougher than chives. But again, garlic and chives are all the same genus. I have chives in a pot that I've had for 15 years in the same pot. I had it in Richmond Hill. I brought it here to Prince Edward County. It just sits outside wherever I leave it, and it just grows in the spring. It's never been an issue, no chance of death in the pot. And it's only probably 10 inches across. It's not a big pot. So that's why I'm pretty confident that in a pot, your garlic is likely to survive. I used to, you know, get green garbage bags, fill them with leaves, tie up the bag, you know, dry leaves, tie up the bags and just use those as little buffer pillows around the pots. Didn't need to. Hostas survive. All kinds of things will survive as long as you've got that kind of protected eastern location.
Well, thank you. I'll try that.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Jean. And we have to take our last pause for some important messages, but we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Oh, yes, we are back with The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Absolutely. And we've got some callers on the line. Going to jump right into that right now. Rita in Richmond Hill. Welcome to The Garden Show, Rita.
Yeah, I'll say it short and sweet. Good morning, guys. I have a purple clematis. I want to know, when do I trim it down? How low do I trim it down? Or do I have to wait and do it in the spring? And can I remove it in the spring?
Sorry, what was the plant?
It's one of those clematis, you know, clematis. They grow purple and they grow up pink.
Rita, tell me about the flowers. Are they flat, dark purple. Blue, purple?
Purple, yeah, like a purple.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the scoop. you have a clematis. The most common one grown is called Jack Manny, and that's likely what you have. It's probably 10 or 12 feet tall now. Leave it alone for the winter. Just let it be. If it's going to fling around in the winter, tie it to the fence or wherever it is. Like, make sure it's stable for the winter. In the spring, as soon as the things start to warm up and the birds are singing, you're going to look and you're going to start to see new growth on that plant. This, when the little buds are this, look like mouse ears, so tiny little fuzzy buds, you're going to get out your chainsaw and you're going to cut the whole thing down to 6 inches tall from the ground. So 6 inches right across, everything you cut off, you can compost. What you've left behind will grow into a bigger, juicier, bushier plant with tons of flowers.
Yeah, but what happens when it's growing? And then I remember last year, these little like buds come out, right? The buds come out. So they're up and down, up and down. So how do you trim it? You just keep cutting it where the buds are, like above the buds, above all the buds?
Just pick a spot 6 inches above the ground, go straight across. You're going to be cutting off a bunch of plant material that has life in it, has little buds on it.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That gets composted.
Okay.
The main thing is the crown of the plant, where the stems and the roots come together at ground level, is alive. And all your new growth is coming from that point, from that bottom point. So all that top growth gets composted. You're right. Some of it's alive. It's not worth keeping. It just becomes scraggly and not pretty. By cutting it down, you'll have a much bushier, better looking plant with more flowers.
You said around 6 inches off the ground, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I dig that up in the spring and move it or not? Leave it alone.
Okay. Why do you want to move it?
Because I'm moving.
Because you're moving.
I know so many. Oh, you're moving. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I better just leave it, I guess. They'll probably bulldoze it down. I just thought I could save it. It's so pretty.
It's worth a try. They're a little tough to move with. Make sure you've got a good-sized pot to put it into, to take with you when you move. I think I was thinking you were wanting to move it because people get frustrated when clematis isn't giving them a lot of flowers the first year and they keep moving it every 2 years. It does take clematis 3 to 4 years to get happy and established. So be patient. But it's worth trying to dig it up in the spring after you've cut it down. Dig it with as much soil as you can around the roots, pot it up, and take it with you.
Have a
lovely
weekend.
Thanks for the question, Rita. All the best with that. Sorry, got to jump to the next call. Got Mary in Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Mary.
My phone doesn't die because I've been on holding for about 25 minutes. My question is this. I have a hibiscus, which was growing nicely. I bought it 2 years ago. It flowered beautifully. About a couple of weeks ago, one branch, the leaves were just curling. And then I watched it for a week. Long story short, I wonder if it was overwatered. Last week in the sun, I spread out all the soil on newspaper to try and dry it. It dried nicely overnight, and I've repotted it. But before I did that, all the other leaves are curling. There's no bugs or anything, and I wonder if I just overwatered, and will it come back?
Did you have it in a pot with drainage holes?
Yes, it's, you know, I bought it from Canadian Tire. It's in, like a 4.5-inch pot, and it's been growing beautifully. No roots out the bottom.
Okay. When you pulled it out of the pot to dry it down, did you smell any kind of a swampy smell?
No.
Okay. So what you've done is fine. You've got it back in the pot, in the sun. You watered it. You'll water it once when it's bone dry. I would get out my pruners. I would prune all the tips on the plant back by whatever, half an inch or so, so that just that pruning should, if there's life in that plant, should cause it to start to grow again. Don't worry about the leaves that you've lost. New ones will grow if the plant is happy and healthy and is able to be rejuvenated.
They're just curled inside. Like I say, there's no bugs. There's nothing.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, just you got to wake it back up. It went dormant. So try the trimming and full sun and water as necessary.
But there's no sun now.
Oh, well, put it in a window.
Okay.
You need a window
right, or
a artificial light. One way or the other, it needs light if you want it to grow.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a south-facing window. Okay.
Thank you. Perfect.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Thank you. Okay. Let's quickly go to Bob, see if he's got a real quick one.
Oh, I don't know. Okay. We'll try.
Bob, you got a quick one?
how low or how high should I leave my grass for the winter? I mean, short people would say, how short should I make it? And tall people would say, how tall do I leave it? But
right. Great question and really quick answer. Right now, if you're going out to mow your lawn today, today is the day to do your shortest cut of the entire year. 2 inches is sharp blades. Cut your lawn short now in preparation for the winter, if this is going to be the final cut, which it probably is. Also, if you haven't fall fertilized or winterizer fertilizer, get that on right after the cut, and you're good to go till next spring. Thanks, Bob. Great question.
Yeah, Bob, that was like a beautiful last question of the show, short question. I like love him. There you go. And for Steve again, I've got lettuce seeds. You get in touch with Charlie Dobbin. I'll send you some.
And don't forget, if you're looking for amaryllis, flowerbulbsrus.com, R-U-S at the end there. Thanks, everybody.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Dean. Fun to
Thank
be back.
You.
Thanks, Carlos. See you all next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.